Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. How do you describe what a reputation is and the tremendous effect it can have on people's attitudes or even choices? A bad reputation keeps people away, and a good reputation invites people to trust, right? That applies in almost every aspect of life. Even God has a reputation. Did you know that? So what would you say God's reputation is with your family or your city? One of the very interesting threads woven through the grand narrative story of history is the reputation of God. Joshua was facing it regularly as he and the Israelites moved into the land of God's promise. Remember what Rahab had told the scouts Joshua sent in to check out Jericho? "We have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea for you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth below." Joshua chapter 2. Today, in Joshua chapter 9, we find God's reputation is again paramount. Joshua 9 verse 1 tells us several kings of the people living in this land gathered together to make battle plans based on the growing reputation of how God was defending and helping the Israelites. Joshua 9 verse 3 introduces us to the Gibeonites, residents of a city Joshua had evidently never heard of, but was only a few miles away from Jericho and Ai. We have a great advantage over Joshua. Did you know that? We have accurate maps and aerial photography and satellite imagery, and of course even real-time communication from people who live everywhere in the Middle East. Joshua had only a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and the promise that God would guide and protect them if Joshua and the people would faithfully seek and follow God's instructions. Obviously, the major ingredient in Joshua's leadership would be his refusal to make any significant decision without seeking and discerning and following God's guidance. Already we've seen that Joshua failed by not seeking God's guidance with Ai, and today in Joshua chapter 9, Joshua failed again by falling to a ruse, a well-crafted deception by the people of the town of Gibeon. Perhaps Joshua was a bit naive. Maybe he was overly trusting of people. By this time, Joshua was likely 80 years old or even older, and he had experienced some difficult things as a result of poor leadership decisions, like the rebellion of Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Maybe it was the words the Gibeonites used to describe the reputation the God of Israel had with them, which led Joshua to trust them. They said, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan. We are your servants. Make a treaty with us." Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 to 13. When you think of the word discernment, what comes to your mind? Do you think you have a discerning spirit? Can you discern when truth is being rejected or distorted? Can you tell when exaggeration or disinformation is being used to try to manipulate you? Look closely at how Joshua and his fellow leaders failed. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with the Gibeonites, and the Israelite leaders ratified it by oath. Joshua 9, 14 and 15. This was another major defining moment in Israel's history, for in the next verses, Joshua describes the problem and the pain which resulted for Israel from this failed leadership decision. Joshua 9, verse 16 to 27. Only a few days later, Joshua discovered they had been scammed by deception and leadership had badly failed by not seeking God to discern the truth. Joshua and Israel leaders had entered into a peace oath with these deceitful Gibeonites, which was later evolved into even a military alliance, which required Israelites putting their lives on the line to defend these deceitful Gibeonites from attack. Joshua 10, verse 1 to 11. Now, friends, read these two chapters of Joshua very carefully, and may I point out several key items. First, as already mentioned, Joshua and all Israelite leaders who engaged in receiving, due diligence, and negotiations with these Gibeonites failed the nation of Israel miserably by not bringing the situation to God before they made any decision, and especially before entering into a peace alliance with the Gibeonites. We must learn from this, my friends. Be careful, very, very careful, when being drawn into any business or other relationship with someone you do not know well. Don't proceed without God's clear guidance. Second, what may appear to be minor, temporary decisions may in fact become binding decisions with very long-term implications, causing you and even your descendants to be bound by or live under the shadow of unwise decisions. For generations to come, the Joshua 9 alliance made between Israelites and Gibeonites was an albatross, a major source of problems in Israel. Look carefully to see if your descendants are living under the shadow of your failed leadership in the past. And if you see they are, I urge you to sit down with them and review Joshua 9 and 10 together and repent, inviting God to bring His healing and forgiveness into your situation. Number three, even in failed human leadership situations, God can still work to accomplish His great purposes for His glory. Joshua 10 is the story of how wicked kings rallied together to come against the Gibeonites in their ultimate objective of annihilating the Israelites, and how God rallied to protect Joshua and Israel, even to the extreme of miraculously causing time to stand still. Joshua 10, verse 12 to 15 reports, "On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." In my visits to Israel, I've had the privilege of driving through the Valley of Ajalon, and my Jewish guide has pointed out the location of this battle, and we've read this scripture, Joshua chapter 10, together. For Joshua and the people of Israel, the events of these two chapters were vital stories to tell all succeeding generations, making sure they learn and live by the important life and leadership lessons found here.